Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. Well, Turkey and Moscow are up to their old tricks. I should say new tricks to give you the history of it. They are getting closer and closer. Now, Turkey is a member of NATO. One for all and all for one, all of that stuff. Turkey is unreliable. Turkey buys Russian weapons systems. And now it has just surfaced that $28 billion has gone into Turkey's coffers, which Turkey says is unaccounted for. A rounding error. No hanky-panky, they say. Just happened to show up. They think it was increased tourism from Ruskies. It was not increased tourism from Ruskies. It was money from Moscow, from their oil profits going to Turkey to nail them down. Let me give you a little background. Turkey and Russia have historically been enemies. And actually, one of the few things that Russia has ever done that benefited mankind is in the 19th century, they were one of the final forces to oppose the Ottoman Empire and weaken it so that after the First World War, it was broken up and its power was broken. After it occupied much of Europe, part of Europe, since the 600s. That's right, since the 600s, 13 centuries. Now, I had a buddy of mine from school. I went in the Navy, he went in the Army. He had a wife and a little kid. He was deployed in 1969 to Turkey, of all places. And it came out okay. This is not a sad story. But his job back then, and this shows you the difference between Turkey then and now, as far as the United States is concerned, he was a second lieutenant, and he and a platoon were stationed on the border. Turkey doesn't have a border with Russia, but has a border with Russian-controlled territories, like Armenia and Azerbaijan. It also has a border with Iran, Syria, Iraq, a lot of no-goodniks. And his platoon and then the company it was in were just stationed there, and they were canaries in a coal mine. They had to stay in constant communication with their headquarters in Europe. And if ever one day there wasn't communication, it meant that the Ruskies had invaded or up to something. He was there for the 13-month tour. I'll tell you what, that was the way the Ruskies were viewed then. It's the way I view them now. But Turkey then was on our side. Turkey sent a military contingent to Korea in 1950 to support us. But Turkey changed. Turkey throughout the 50s and 60s and even 70s was a secular state, not an Islamic state. I mean, people were Muslims, but they did that on their own time, just like we do in the United States. Under Erdogan, he has made it an Islamic state again. He has made it into an Islamic state again, and he has differences with the United States. So he is an indifferent member. They are an indifferent member of NATO. They're threatening to block the admission of Finland and Sweden to NATO unless Finland and Sweden agree to extradite Kurdish refugees who went there to avoid being captured and tortured by Erdogan. Turkey has an historical record of genociding ethnic minorities, going back to the Armenians. 100 years ago, several million of them were killed. The Armenians were Christians. They got into what's now Armenia Russia supposedly is protecting them, but it's not really. It's winking at what Turkey does. Turkey is ethnic cleansing the Kurds. Some of them, to escape murder, went to Finland and Sweden and elsewhere in Europe. And the price of Finland and Sweden's admission to NATO, as Turkey says, they've got to send them back here for, quote, justice, end quote. Well, Turkish justice is not something that's very pretty and that you want to see. Here's my solution. Turkey is halfway into NATO. They know they are never going to be admitted to the EU. Remember something. Admission to the EU and NATO requires unanimity. Any one country in the EU or NATO can blackball somebody for admission. There's no way that Greece is going to let Turkey in. There's no way, in my opinion, that a lot of people are going to let Turkey in. And why is that? They're in NATO already, because we want at least one Islamic country on our side against the Ruskies. But the reason they won't get into the EU is because who they border. They border Iran, Azerbaijan, Iraq, and Syria. Angela Merkel brought 1 million Muslim so-called refugees in, and as a result, we have had 10 years of church bombings, cathedral bombings, the murder of priests on the altar, airports blown up, terrorist attacks on the street, members of parliament assassinated. If you admit Turkey to the EU, you have freedom of movement. You will have 10 million Islamic refugees, supposedly refugees, coming into Europe, and Europe will cease to exist. People know that. They pretend to be polite about it. It's a strange dance. So my suggestion to the EU, to NATO, is this. You want to admit somebody to NATO, Finland and Sweden in this case, and Romania at some point, Ukraine should be admitted to NATO. If Turkey vetoes them unless they're permitted to kill Kurdish refugees from Sweden and Finland, you create a separate treaty. One is the treaty that everybody winks at that includes Turkey. So they have lip service to being part of NATO. The Ruskies attack NATO. We expect Turkey to join with us in response. But then there is a separate treaty of everybody else, not including Turkey. But this would now include Sweden, Finland, eventually Romania, eventually Ukraine. You have to be nimble about these things. You can't be rigid about these things. Turkey cannot be permitted to exercise a veto on Europe's future. But that, in effect, is what they are going to do now. And speaking of the Ruskies, speaking of the venomous Ruskies, the venomous Ruskies right now initially walked back. Remember the dirty bomb plot? Dirty bomb plot. What they said was Ukraine is going to do a nuclear incident, so we're going to have to respond. They were lying, of course. The UK, the United States, France, NATO, everybody hit back and said, in polite terms, in diplomacy, you don't say you're lying. You say that is not accurate. That is not going to happen. And if you do a false flag nuclear attack on yourself, we are going to respond. You are not going to hit NATO countries, and you're not going to hit Ukraine with nuclear weapons. Initially, the other day, Russia walked back the dirty bomb plot in light of the NATO warnings. And they said, all right, now it doesn't look like Ukraine is going to do it to us, so we'll stand down. There is nothing that a Russian diplomat, which is normally a term of art, I use it in the loose colloquial sense, their diplomacy is not diplomacy, it's simply mendacity and fraud. designed to disguise upcoming military operations. What they said is, they walked it back, but there is evidence now that they are planning a terrorist act using nuclear weapons at Zaporizhia, the power plant. And these are the clowns that Turkey is sucking up to and got $28 billion from. Can't account for it. And they're cozy with the Ruskies, even though they're in NATO. Can't have that. Just can't have that. I think once again, and I don't think they need my advice on this, because I think this is absolutely ongoing. I would think it was ongoing. The message has got to be gotten across to the Ruskies that if you do a terrorist act involving nuclear waste material, dirty bomb, anything like that out of the Zaporizhia power plant, that was not the Ukrainians, that was you, and we will retaliate. Got to be careful, they have nuclear weapons. We have more nuclear weapons, but in a nuclear war, nobody wins. How do we know that they're planning a terrorist attack? Because there has been unexplained construction in Zaporizhia, which has not been disclosed to nuclear examiners. The Ukrainian experts who were there, and they were under arrest, they ran the plant, Ukrainians, at gunpoint. And then they were taken back to a dormitory at night and gave them some bad chow. That's what happened to them. Well, some of them now have been kidnapped and forcibly taken to Russia, so their expertise is not available to the Ukrainians. And the game is afoot, Watson. The commie Ruskies are doing construction, not notifying anybody. This is going on in Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. It would have devastating consequences because there'd be nuclear fallout and contamination in Ukraine. Some of it would get into Russia. Putin doesn't care. It wouldn't get into a fancy part of Russia. Get into a very rural part of Russia that he doesn't care about. He uses them as cannon fodder. At some point, the Ruskies have got to realize they have a leader who's a madman who hates them. And they've got to take him out. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after. Cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, two people in Ohio, fortunately, have been charged and pled guilty to a very broad-based scheme throughout the Midwest of voter suppression in a very sneaky way. They're Republicans, of course. Did I neglect to mention that? Republicans, of course. Let me give you the facts. Let me tell you what I think, what's going to happen going forward. Two of these right-wing guys, and they were young. One of them, I think, was only 24, conducted a robocall operation throughout the Midwest, including Michigan. I didn't see Wisconsin, but it may have happened in Wisconsin. It certainly happened in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And they would do thousands of robocalls. In this particular scheme in Ohio, they did 67,000 robocalls. 8,100 of them were to Cleveland or East Cleveland in minority areas exclusively. Of the 8,100 in the Cleveland area, which is the ball game in a tight race for Democrats in Ohio, 3,400 of them were actually answered or went to voicemail so that they could be listened to. So the following message that I'm about to describe to you was listened to or actually either on voicemail or live by at least 3,400 people in the Cleveland area alone. Remember, a race in Ohio can be decided by a razor thin margin. Right now, the Vance Ryan race is essentially tied. And they did this in Michigan, that, for instance, in Detroit, all minority areas, where Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton by only 10,000 votes in all of Michigan. And here's what they said. They said that if you vote by mail, that information will be used by law enforcement and debt collectors to either arrest you or throw you into bankruptcy. It's also going to be put on a register that is requiring mandatory vaccinations. Now, if I get a call like that, and I've gotten scam calls, you know, the Nigerian oil minister who stole $300 million and this kind of stuff, or somebody calls up and says the IRS wants you for tax fraud, but if you wire $5,000 to pay court costs, they'll let you off, that kind of thing. And by the way, those kinds of scams actually are lucrative, or people wouldn't keep doing them. If I get those kind of calls, you get this kind of call, you'd laugh. One time I called the U.S. Attorney's office and I told them that I'd gotten this, and I kept it on my voicemails if they wanted to prosecute. And they just laughed. They said, we have hundreds of those. We know, we're investigating, blah, blah, blah. But put yourself in the shoes of somebody in the inner city. Let's say a single mom works two jobs, cleaning and cooking in an assisted living facility. Let's say cleaning an office building at night, her kids without supervision because she can't afford childcare. She may not vote anyway, but she's certainly not going to vote if she gets a robocall from an authoritative male voice who says, be aware, this is a public service alert. If you vote by mail, the information you put on the ballot can and will be used by law enforcement and debt collectors, and will put you on a mandatory vaccination list. Now, will some people that get those calls vote? Sure. Will some not vote? Yes. Will they tell their neighbors about this so it spreads beyond the person who heard the call? Yes. There's a pervasive suspicion, and rightly so, in some minority communities that they're under attack by powerful forces who don't wish them well. There were flyers that went out in the inner city in Milwaukee in past elections, and I'm aware of, that said, right before the election, said, don't forget to vote next Wednesday. Well, the election, of course, was Tuesday. This put on people's windshields. Some people saw through it, but I'm sure there are some people. But oh, it's Wednesday this time. You see what I mean? That's what happened. There was a billboard put up in Milwaukee in a past election that said you can't vote if you have a criminal conviction. That is a false statement. If you have a misdemeanor conviction, you can absolutely vote. And these billboards in a lot of states, if you serve your time and you're no longer on paper or certainly not in prison, you can vote. But who's going to take the chance? Who gives a lot of thought to what's a misdemeanor and a felony? Who's gone to law school? Who needs this? Who wants to take a risk? Who wants to take a risk of being arrested and sent back to jail for 10 years? So they don't vote. They don't vote. These leaflets, these billboards, this kind of thing, were put up by the Republican Party. These people are facing similar charges in Michigan. They're going to get some jail time in Ohio. I'm going to leave you with this. I voted yesterday early. Early in person, Milwaukee was terrific. Short line. People were courteous. For you clowns in the Republican Party out there who falsely say there are problems with voting in Wisconsin, including Michaels and Johnson, who hint at it, they know very well there's nothing wrong with it. take a look at the ladies and gentlemen who are staffing these. These are your neighbors. These are your relatives. You are lying. You are lying. Knock it off. Go to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the Progressive Caucus in the Democratic Party really stepped in it. Important to call this out, quite frankly. Progressive Caucus on Monday sent a letter to Joe Biden demanding that he negotiate a settlement and a ceasefire with Russia and Ukraine. They demanded that he consider giving them sanctions relief. They said this is because what Russia is doing with the grain in Ukraine, blocking it, is creating global hunger and poverty as a result of these Russian actions. So you should lease their sanctions and negotiate with them. Because of what Russia is doing in Ukraine, it's elevated gas and food prices around the world and here in the United States. Remember a few days ago, Kevin McCarthy on the right wing of the Republican Party said that the Republicans, if they get in, will cut aid to Ukraine so they can increase tax breaks to the top echelon wage earners in this country. This disgusting letter from the Progressive Caucus was signed by 30 people, 30 members of Congress who are part of the Progressive Caucus, including Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, and 26 others. Believe it or not, it was also signed by Jamie Raskin, who's gone down in my estimation as a result of that. Let me give you some of the history of this and burrow down a little deeper. The Progressive Caucus is a political caucus. It has its own conventions, its own meetings. When there's a State of the Union address by the president, by Trump, but even by Biden, they will give their own State of the Union address. They routinely criticize Democratic congressmen who are not part of the Progressive Caucus. And they run candidates. They run candidates against other Democrats in primaries, chewing up money and lying about conventional Democrats. This is not the first piece of skullduggery that the Progressive Caucus has been up to. Back in the last go-around of elections, remember that New Jersey and Virginia have off-year, really off-year gubernatorial elections in the odd year. So in 2021, Governor of Virginia got elected, 2021, Governor of New Jersey and their legislatures. The Progressive Caucus cost us the governorship of Virginia, and they cost us the legislature in Virginia, and they almost cost us the governorship of New Jersey, and they cost us some legislative seats in New Jersey that hadn't been Republican in a long, long time. That is because they knifed Joe Biden's Build Back Better, the infrastructure bill, the hard infrastructure that was going to repair roads, highways, bridges, water treatment facilities, and airports, because they wanted soft infrastructure to go through at the same time. And Joe realized that he couldn't get soft through at that point, and he did get it through later. But what the disgusting Progressive Caucus said at the time was, Well, the hard infrastructure basically benefits Caucasian men, workers, union workers, guys, and therefore it doesn't sufficiently sprinkle things around. That's false, by the way. Our unions are diverse. It was false and disgusting. I'm going to say something right now. Russia in Ukraine right now is committing genocide. Zelensky and the Ukrainians have been magnificent. Their women are being raped and tortured, and their kids are being kidnapped and killed by Wagner Group sadist mercenaries, Islamic terrorists from Chechnya, and now Iran is in there. And these clowns from the Progressive Caucus, knife Joe Biden in the back. Enough's enough. Enough's enough. The word progressive is sprinkled around like it's a good thing. It's not a good thing. I'm going to give you the history. The first progressive movement in the state, fighting Bob La Follette in the late 19th, early 20th century, stood up to the railroads and the corporate interests. It was magnificent. Magnificent. The so-called stalwart Republicans did everything they could to hurt him. He won anyway. He died. Son Phil came over as governor. In 1949, there was an historic convention in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where the Democratic Party merged with the Progressive Republicans. Do you know who one of the leaders of the Progressive Republicans was? Gaylord Nelson. He was a Republican. You know who the leaders of the Democratic side were? Bill Proxmire and Pat Lucey, and none of them had been elected to anything at the time. Well, Gaylord, I think, was a state senator, maybe. And out of that was born the Democratic Party that was the wonder of Wisconsin for the second part of the 20th century. Everything you take for granted, graduated income tax, a great University of Wisconsin system, traces back to that union. And the two greatest people in that union were Pat Lucey, after fighting Bob La Follette, the best governor in the history of the state, and Bill Proxmire. And that's, of course, until Scott Walker came along. That is what progressive means. The Progressive Caucus now, there should not be a sub-political caucus within a political caucus. We have a women's caucus and a black caucus, but to have the Working Families Party, which is what this really is, have its own, quote, caucus, end quote, within the Democratic caucus is wrong. Jamila Priyapal, the congresswoman from Washington, whenever she smiles, it gives me the shivers. She was born in India in an Islamic household, moved to Indonesia. I have never once heard her compliment the United States, which gave her refuge. I've never once heard her criticize an Islamic state, no matter what they did. I'm tired of her, tired of the Progressive Caucus. Tired of people go, I'm a progressive. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. What are you, a fighting Bob progressive? Are you a Pat Lucey, Gaylord Nelson, Bill Proxmire progressive? Or are you pickling identity politics and continually attacking the United States? For them to say that the hell with Ukraine and torture the women, kidnap the kids, all of that, because we want grain for Africa and Asia. We want Russia out of the picture. We want them militarily defeated. They are animals. The whole world will benefit by sending Ukraine weapons. Yes, the Progressive Caucus rescinded the letter, said it was a staff error. That was false. It was not a staff error. We're not putting up with that anymore. We're not putting up with that anymore. We're not putting up the Democratic Party knifed within from a fake political caucus. If they want to be the Working Families Party on their own, go ahead. But what they're doing is they're harvesting the good reputation of the Democratic Party to knife the Democratic Party. Go to the lines. Dan of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling What's Your Mind Day, Dan.
Good morning, Matt. Just on what you're talking about, you know, maybe Joe Biden needs to release a public statement about this and just flat out say, we do not negotiate with terrorists. and we do not appease dictators. I mean,
right.
You know, there is a real problem with that the war in Ukraine is causing famine, but giving Russia what they want is not going to solve that problem. You know, if anything, like you said, we need to support Ukraine more and end it sooner. If we give in to Russia, all they're going to do is want more.
Right. Right. No, you hit the nail on the head. And the point, there's not going to be any grain to Africa at normal prices anytime soon. A Russian would kill his own grandmother for a bottle of horseradish. He would steal the pennies off a dead man's eyes. You think they care about black people? Are you kidding me? African students who go there to study are beaten and thrown in the street. The most racist country in the world, except for China and every other country in the world other than the United States. We at least are trying to do something about it. But the fact is, you cannot say to Russia, oh, okay, they came into like Kherson and Bucha and found buckets of teeth. What the Russians would do to amuse themselves, they tie a guy down and pull all his teeth out with a pliers. They thought that was funny. They'd hook them up to electric generators, hook up their genitals and their nipples and everything else and shock them. They thought that was funny. They are sadists. They're animals. They are animals. No human being innately is an animal. They have been run by animals for 1,000 years. You cannot give in to them. And for these clowns in the Progressive Caucus to say, well, kind of in lockstep, well, we want to make sure that the right kind of folk get benefited by this. So the hell with the governor of Virginia, the hell with the governor of New Jersey, the hell with Ukraine. They are a tumor within the Democratic Party. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. I wish the progressive wing of the party wouldn't have done that because it makes you look like Trumpism. Because right. That's what McCarthy wants to do, and that's a sad day. And one of the greatest things that happened under Joe Biden, well, just one of them, there's many of them, infrastructure, that helps everybody, and it will continue to help people with roads, bridges, and everything that goes along with it. But the biggest thing, somehow Trumpism has to die. We cannot function as a country. It'll right. tear us apart. You know, it will. It will tear us apart. And Russia, I don't think Russia would have invaded Ukraine without Trumpism. I think Trumpism is responsible for that. Who knows what Trump gave Putin anyway. So I just want Trumpism gone from the Republican Party, get back to something sensible. And the Democrats need to win this time, so we don't need stuff like that. Well, that's my thoughts. Thanks, Matt. Have a great day.
Well, that's a great call, as always. I always look forward to your calls. That's very, very true. Trump doesn't care about the United States. Trump would steal the pennies off a dead man's eyes. And I think I know what he gave Putin, because he's servile to Putin and afraid of Putin. Where do you think the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago went? Where do you think they were intended? How about the empty jackets that said classified, but there's nothing in them? How about the boxes that he was personally supervising the loading on a small jet for Bedminster to avoid the subpoena? Who goes to those lengths unless he wants to get them to somebody? Why is he going to get them to somebody? Because he's borrowed hundreds of millions of dollars from the Russian mafia and can't repay him. Because he's on video in a Moscow hotel room with prostitutes that he didn't know or KGB agents filming him. That's why. Period. He is servile to Putin. What else did he give him? He promised that he withdraws from NATO, and he'll do it again if he gets back in. He cannot be permitted to get back in. He cannot be permitted to put his hand on a Bible in 2024. And the only way he's going to put a hand on his Bible is if someone hides it up a waitress's skirt. This guy cannot be president of the United States again. It's a travesty he was president at all. He is absolutely dividing the country. He has a small slice of the Republican Party, and the rest of them are chicken. The cowards. They don't want to be primaried. They will stab their own country in the back. They'll stab our allies in the back. They'll withdraw us from NATO. They will do anything. They will get down on their knees in front of Trump, El Gordo, to simply keep the status of staying in office. And their miserable salaries and everything else, actually their comfortable salaries, that is what is going on. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk about the Senate races. There was a debate in Pennsylvania last night, Fetterman against Oz. To break that down a little bit, talk about some other Senate races. You know, a lot of the pundits go, okay, Fetterman, because he had a stroke, He is a man's man. He is a terrific guy. He was up there. He said, I had a stroke. Okay, big deal. I had a stroke. Coming out of it, I'm tough as nails. Guy's 6'8". Take care of himself. And so I will slur a few words because of the stroke. I'm coming back. Cognitively, I'm 100%. And so you get some pundits who will go, oh, well, you know, he stumbled over a few words. You know, he has this device that, you know, he can read what's said and then he can respond. And there was a lot of smoke blown about, oh, well, Oz wouldn't let that be shown on TV. I'm going to cut through this. When it came to issues, anything having to do with issues, Oz is a disaster. This is great on abortion. Here's what he goes, because he knows that in Pennsylvania, he can't say what he can get away with in Oklahoma or Texas. So he said, I'm not kidding. The decision whether or not to have abortion is between a woman, her doctor, and local politicians. Seriously, who says something like that? I mean, at first I thought he was kidding, except that that's a kind of a bad subject to kid about. And what he was trying to say is, I'm not going to vote for a national law on it, but it's between a woman or doctor and local politicians. That's great. Bring in your alderman, okay? Well, you bring in Cavalier Johnson, bring in Bob Donovan, used to be an alderman. Have him come in, have one of those old things that doctors had on their forehead with like a headband and a round mirror. You know, if I'm the husband of the woman, I throw the guy out. They say I throw the guy out. That's enough. Why am I laughing? This guy's a clown. But I want to hit something. I do not understand something about this race. And here's what it is. Mehmet Oz, he was born in Cleveland. His parents were from Turkey. They were doctors. His father was. Maybe his mother was too. I don't know. His father is an extremely religious, insistent Sunni Muslim. His mother is apparently less rigid about it. When Mehmet Oz grew up, he served in the military, the Turkish military. Seriously, he didn't serve in the American army. He served in the Turkish army for a couple of years. The Turkish army was one of the instruments 100 years ago, right around the First World War, of killing about 2 million Armenians, including kids and women. And they are involved now in killing Kurds. I'm assuming that Oz never killed an Armenian or a Kurd. But do you really think that if Fetterman had served in the Turkish military, the Republicans wouldn't ask if he had? Do you really think that? When it comes to voting, Oz votes in Turkish elections because he has dual citizenship with Turkey. He's a Turkish citizen. He's a Turkish citizen and an American citizen, dual citizenship. He's missed many American elections. I don't want a guy who served in the Turkish military, not the American military, votes in Turkish elections, but not many American elections in the Senate. He's a friend of Erdogan's. I don't want a Turkish mouthpiece in the Senate. Is there any doubt in your mind that if Fetterman had done what Oz did, that there wouldn't be ads pointing this out? Is this rocket science? No, it's not rocket science. No, not a word has been breathed about this. Instead, they try to get at it obliquely by saying Oz is of New Jersey, because that's where he lives. I mean, he lists a Pennsylvania address that's his in-law's house, a bedroom in his in-law's house, which he never goes to. Okay. But people in Pennsylvania right next to New Jersey, if you like Minnesota and Wisconsin, people say, oh, well, Ron Johnson's from Minnesota. Everyone yawns. Who cares? Minnesota and Wisconsin are very similar. The reason to throw out Ron Johnson is because he wants to reauthorize Social Security every year and Medicare, and then he'll filibuster it. And he'll have a good laugh about that if he gets back in six more years. But you don't say that a guy like Oz is of New Jersey when he is of Turkey, of the Turkish army, which has a brutal history. The Ottoman Empire brutalized Europe, and preceding the Ottoman Empire, other Islamic attackers since the 690s, not the 1690s, the 690s, occupied all of the Iberian Peninsula. They occupied Spain and what's now Portugal. They went into France, and at the Battle of Tours Poitiers, 732, Charles the Hammer, Charlemagne's grandpa, put an army together and threw them out. And that's why France is not an Islamic country. And Germany isn't either, although Angela Merkel did her best to make it one. This has been going on since 690, folks. 13 centuries. And the clown could be in the Senate. And this is not in an ad. Nobody says anything. I think part of it is because Fetterman doesn't want to offend the progressive caucus in Pennsylvania. I get it. But there are ways of not offending them. Third parties can put these ads on. They've got to be put on. Do you really think that if Mandela Barnes is serving the Turkish army, voted in Turkish elections, not American elections, didn't serve in the American military, was a friend of Erdogan, you think that maybe Johnson might put that in an ad? We are sitting back and letting these races go along without really putting up the right kind of fight. Where there's Katie Hobbs running for governor in Arizona, she refuses to debate Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake is a very attractive woman. She was the news anchor in Phoenix for many years. She's obviously very skilled. Okay. Katie Hobbs is no dummy. And she's not as good looking as Carrie Lake. So what? We're talking about governor, for Pete's sake. Debate her. Say what you're going to do. Carrie Lake is now going up a couple of points because people go, oh, Katie Hobbs won't debate. Personally, you're an idiot to let that be the defining factor in who you vote for, but some people do, and you got to understand that. Then you have other races coming up, but we're going to a break. We'll get them later. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.